Blog Talk Radio.
Into the rubble, bubbling. We don't need no more trouble. Double telescope vision, hot, hot vision. Like I'm running the mock up on a rhythm. Stay on the band so you don't lose the vision. Game sizzling, Peter Pan up from my pants. Just like yourself from the silly feeling it. You're breathing it. You put on your glasses and you see through it.
Fear nobody but his majesty. My spirit, you be deep. For you, I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me. Fear nobody but his majesty.
Like a rat on a wheel, try to find a new deal. Who is there? Ticket for a meal. This world is real on the heels of a final generation.
I remember that day in November, standing on a roof and I'm feeling so tender. All shook up like I've been in the blender. Fend off the demons in the park after dark. Send me a hand, I want to be a member. Spent too much and now I'm rendered dead. Mend these wounds, we got to find a common thread. Want to fly in the sky, but you're heavy like
this. Ain't nobody but his majesty. My spirit. For you I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me. Fear nobody but his majesty. My spirit, you be deep. For you I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me.
Just a tool in the hands of the builder. Fill them with the strength to go further. Dig in deep for eternal treasure. Stay away from quicksand and false pleasure. They mouth speak with arrogance. Appearance like a lion lurking in the mist. They surround them, they gaze their fixed. Grab the rope.
Nobody but his majesty. My spirit, you be deep. For you I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me. Fear nobody but his majesty. My spirit, you be deep. For you I wait silently. It seems that you believe in me.
My distress, you will relieve. Shield me on a path that's dark and slippery. This sick deception and futility. I stand with integrity. Sneak to the roof of that building. Don't want nobody here to see me. To say that I'm living in a fantasy. But I believe in finding deep. And I plead in sincerity.
Y'all, family, and listening audience, welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yahweh Al of Beth Yahweh. I want to make a brief announcement before we get into the session. Next week we will be on the break, and then I'll follow up the following week, because next week we at Beth Yahweh will be commencing with the Seder. So next week we won't be here, but we're going to deal with the present, and we're going to deal with the present today, and we're going to get into today's lesson. And today's lesson is the last item that is used for the defense in regards to this armor. But before we get into that, just like always, I'm going to suggest that everyone grab their study materials so that you can follow along with your study materials, and we'll get right into it. I'm going to go back to where we started from and Ephesians. Oh, no. Oh, man, I'm real excited. I'm real excited. I got to get into some other stuff first. Apologize, family. I apologize. Ready to go. Ready to go. But we first have to give praise to the Most High. Now, I apologize. First of all, let's give praise to the Most High for allowing us to come to yet another day, another Sabbath day, another day to give him praise and give him honor, another day for him to open our minds to the wonders of his word. I thank him for all of us for allowing us to come to this moment to give him praise and give him honor. Blessed are you, Yahweh, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage, a remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. All right, like I said earlier, we're going to go back, and we're going to go back to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to start at verse 10, I believe. Not 10. I didn't write this down. This was an impromptu thing. Okay, we're going to start at verse 14, and it says, stand. Not going to go there. We're going to start from the top. Verse 11, putting on the complete armor of Elohim for you to have power to stand against the scheme of the devil, because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, against principalities, against authorities, against the world ruling of the darkness of this age, against spiritual matters of wickedness in the heavenlies. Because of this, take up the complete armor of Elohim, so that you have power to withstand in the wicked days, and having done all to stand. Stand, men, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having fitted your feet with the preparation of the good news of peace. And above all, having taken up the shield of belief, with which you shall have power to quench all the burning arrows of the wicked one. And today, we're going to get into the last defensive weapon, and that is take also the helmet of deliverance. And so, like I said, we're going to deal with that, the last defensive weapon, and that's in Ephesians chapter 16, verse 17. This is the first clause. And take on the helmet of salvation. Okay, so one of the first things that I did, I looked up the term helmet. And I looked it up in the dictionary, and then I looked it up in the Greek. A helmet is a form of protective gear worn to protect the head. More specifically, the helmet complements the skull and protecting the human brain. Ceremonial or symbolic helmets without protective functions are sometimes worn. Soldiers wear helmets often made from lightweight plastic material. The word helmet is demonstrative from helm, a medieval word for protective combat headgear. The medieval gear, Greek helm, covered the whole head and often is accompanied with a camel, protecting the throat and neck as well. Originally, the helmet was helm, which covered the head only, partly, and protected it from injury and accident. So one of the things we want to see from the Wikipedia definition is that the helmet is designed to cover the whole head, protect the whole head. Whereas if you think of certain helmets, like if you think of a football helmet, how it covers the whole head and protects the whole head, and it has a little has an area where you can see through it. If you think of a motorcycle helmet, same thing. It covers the whole head to protect the whole head. So one of the things we have, you know, when we're dealing with the Most High and dealing with this battle or this war that we're in with Hasatan, is that we have to protect our whole head. And our whole head, and what is in the head? The brain. You know, the central processing unit, if we're going to use terms like with a computer. You know, that is our computer, our brain. You know, because our brain is connected to our spinal cord, which is connected to our nerve endings, which is controls our body. So we want to protect that. So I looked that word up in Greek, and that is 40-30. And it's parakialaya. And it means helmet. And one of the things, when you look this word up, it means to encircle the head. But one of the things also with this word, it is a compound word. And it comes from it's broken down in peri, which is 40-12 in your Greek lexicon. And it means about, concerning, around. So it's letting you know that this is what is known. It's encircling the head. Now the second part of that word is kephala, and that's 2776 in your Greek lexicon, and it means the head, cornerstone, uniting two walls, ruler, Lord. Primarily the head. So one of the things we want to look at when we're looking at that word for helmet is still pointing to the head. It also points to a cornerstone or the uniting of two walls. So later down the line, when we read some other scriptures throughout the word, we're going to come across cornerstone. We're going to come across something that alludes to two walls coming together. Even when you look at a cornerstone, it is like it's dealing with two walls coming together. And then we have of salvation. And I looked that word up also, and that was 49-92 in your Greek lexicon. And it means soterion. And it means saving, bringing salvation, defender, defense. And it also comes from another word, soter, which is 49-90, which means a savior, a deliverer. Also means preserver. And then this particular word, it comes from another word, which is sarzo, and that means to save, heal, preserve, and that word is 49-82. So these are the different definitions for the terms helmet and salvation from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17. So keep in mind the definition of both helmet and salvation as we go through the lesson tonight. And we also want to be mindful that It is a form of defense, a defense mechanism or defense that we utilize battle or in this war with Hasatan. So we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 17 to 24. And it reads, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Messiah, that you no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles, also walk in the fertility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, alienated from life of Yah, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who having become callous, gave themselves up to lust, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you did not learn Messiah that way. If indeed you have heard him and were taught in him, even as truth is in Yahushua, that you put away as concerning your former way of life, the old man that grows corrupt after the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in your spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, who is in the likeness of the Mighty One, has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth." From here, well, when I read this, you know, what jumped out at me is dealing with the spirit of the mind. And see, that is one of the things that the helmet is protecting. It's protecting our thinking. It's protecting our mind from being pierced, like we read last week, you know, with the shield help us to, you know, because last week when we were talking about that shield was the first time that it alluded to that Hasatan uses some type of weaponry against us. And what he used was the fiery darts. And the fiery darts came in various forms. You know, you had your darts, you had your arrows, you had your javelins. But one of the things that wasn't brought out last week, but I'm going to bring it out this week, is that each of these things have a point, and it pierces. So one of the things we want to do is that we want to have our armor and have our protective gear straight so that it won't pierce us. And this is one of the things that, you know, when dealing with the mind, people drop stuff out there. But we have to be secured in that word, that truth, that righteousness, so that when we hear things, we've already utilized other forms of the armor to get it away from us, to defend ourselves from it. So, and one of the things in dealing with the spirit of the mind, we have to be mindful of the fact that Adam, with his free will, chose to be disobedient. And because of disobedience, we as humanity are stuck with that. But yet we're not stuck with that, because through Yahushua, in the belief in what he has done for us, then we too, we can be cleansed. Our minds can change, as we read in the scripture, putting away that old man. That old man is that sinful man, and that new man is a new man in Yahushua, becoming a new creature. So from here, we're going to go to Psalms 119. And we're going to read verses 153 to 160. And this is a stanza. Beside it is the letter Resh. And the letter Resh is a picture of the back of a man's head. So this is depicting or showing something dealing with the head of man. So I'm going to read. Verse 153. "Consider my afflictions and deliver me. For I did not forget your law. Plead my case and redeem me. Revive me according to your promise. Salvation is far from the wicked, for they do not seek your statutes. Great are your tender mercies, Yahweh. Revive me according to your ordinances. Many are my persecutors and my adversaries. I haven't swerved from your testimony. I look at the faithless with loathing because they do not observe your word. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, Yahweh, according to your loving kindness. All of your words are true. Every one of your righteous ordinances endures forever. We're going to go to verse 155 because it has the term salvation in it. And that is 3444 in your Hebrew lexicon. And this word is Yeshua. And it means salvation, deliverance, health, help, helping, save, saving health, welfare. And it comes from Yasha, which means, that's 3467, and that means to deliver, avenge, defend, rescue, be safe. So one of the things we want to know in regards to salvation, that salvation is a deliverer, a helper, help us, rescue us. So this is something that this helmet does for us. It helps us. It saves us. What is it saving? It is saving our thinking. Because once we take in the goodness of the word, we have to constantly protect it. And one of the things that we realize, you know, we should be realizing with this whole armor is that we're utilizing the word to protect our body so that we can be an able body to fight the good fight for Yahushua. So now we're going to go into some other books. And I'm going to go into the lost books of the Bible, the hidden books of Eden. And I'm going to read from chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And it's in regards to salvation. And it reads, Yah said to Adam, I have ordained on this earth days and years, and thou and thy seed shall dwell and walk in it, until the days and years are fulfilled, when I shall send the word that created thee and against which thou hast transgressed, the word that has made thee come out of the garden and that raised thee when thou hast fallen. Yea, the word that will again save thee when the five days and a half are fulfilled. But when Adam heard these words from Yahweh and of the great 5 days and a half, he did not understand the meaning of them. For Adam was thinking that there would be but 5 days and a half for him to the end of the world. And Adam wept and he prayed Yahweh to explain it to him. And Yahweh in his mercy for Adam, who was made after his own image and similitude, explained to him that these were 5,500 years and how one would then come and save him and his seed. That sounds like salvation right there. Then we're going to go to Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures within there. We're going to read verse 5, verse 8, verse 13, and verse 18. And it reads, Yahweh saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. So, we're going to come down. This is from, you know, we're going to go back to the previous one, and we're dealing with Adam and his seed. So, because Adam committed a sin, Adam transgressed. He was disobedient to what was told to him. And his descendants did the same thing. They was wicked, as we read in Genesis 5. They was wicked. So now we're going to go to verse 8. But Noah found grace. We're going to stop at that word grace for a minute. And in your Hebrew lexicon, it is 2580. And it's Cain. And it means favor, grace, pleasant, precious. So, one of the things it says, but Noah found grace. Noah found favor. Noah was precious in that particular time, during this continuous evilness of the people and their thoughts. Verse 13, Yahweh said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Through them, behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So right here, he's letting you know that he's letting Noah know that he's about to destroy the earth because of the wickedness that they're doing in that time. Verse 18, but I will establish my covenant with you. You shall come into the ship, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. So right here, we see this is another form of saving. What is he saving him from? He is saving him from the other people because he's about to destroy them. So we're looking at different ways that when we read in the lost books about humanity being saved because of their wickedness. Genesis chapter 22. We're going to read a couple of scriptures, different scriptures in this particular chapter also. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 22. We're going to read first 1 and 2. And then we're going to read 9 through 12. And it reads, and it happened after these things that Yahweh tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, he said, here I am. He said, now you take your son, your only son, whom you love, even Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there for a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell you of. Verse 9. They came to the place which Yahweh had told him of. Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to kill his son. The angel of Yahweh called to him out of the sky and said, "Abraham, Abraham." He said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy, neither do anything to him. For now I know that you fear Yahweh, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." So I went here because this is dealing with a sacrifice about to be made. Because during that time, sacrifices weren't heard of. Well, sacrifices were done, but not in Israel. Well, not human sacrifices. Let me correct that. Not human sacrifices. So from here, we're going to go to John 3:16. And it says, "For Yah so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Sounds like Abraham was doing the same thing. But we see that the Father in heaven gave his only begotten Son. John chapter 6, verse 38. And it reads, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me." Just going back to what we read in the lost books, how he said he was going to send his word down to save him. We'll go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 and 5. And it reads, "Grace to you and peace from Yah the Father and our Messiah Yahushua, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us out of the present evil age, according to the will of our mighty one and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." So, just going back to what we read earlier, this is something that was told to Adam about salvation, being saved. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. And it reads, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of Yah is eternal life in Yahushua, the Messiah." Right here, we're going to stop at this word gift. And it's 5486 in your Greek lexicon. And it is charisma. And it means a gift of grace, a free gift, an undeserving favor, gratitude, endowment. So this gift, this free gift of Yah, is undeserved. I mean, we don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. But because he loved us so much, he gave us a gift. And that gift was his son. And as I was going through this study and reading these different scriptures, one of the things that came to my mind was in regards to sin. And I, you know, came up with this little statement that says, sin is a danger to the soul of humanity. You know, disobedience, because disobedience causes us to be separate ourselves from the Most High. And from here, and you know, I heard this term before, so I went online and I looked it up. And it's a chink in someone's armor, and it means if someone or something has a chink in their armor, they have a weakness that people can take advantage of, although they seem very strong in success. So from here, and why that came to my mind is because we as believers, sometimes we have all the armor on. We have it on. We have it secure. But because of the battle that we go through, and if we don't learn from certain battles, we'll go through that battle again, go through that battle again. And these things tend to wear us out. You know, one of the scriptures that we've been going over lately is Daniel 7:25. And it reads, I'm going to paraphrase it, but it talks about how the adversary is going to wear out the saints. He's wearing out the saints. How is he wearing out the saints? He's constantly being in battle with them, battle with them, battle with them. And sometimes we don't get an opportunity to, you know, strengthen ourselves, get new armor, get new this, or get new that. Or, you know, we get weary, we get tired. That causes us to be weak in certain areas. And that's what the adversary is looking for. He's looking for those different shortcomings that we have. So now we're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 9. And it reads, likewise, your younger ones, be subject to the elders. Yes, all of you, clothe yourself with humility to subject yourself to one another. For Yah resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of Yah, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your worries on him, because he cares for you. Be sober and self-controlled. Be watchful. Yet your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Withstanding him steadfast in your faith, knowing that your brothers who are in the world are undergoing the same suffering. See, last week we talked about that shield and how that shield was used to, you know, block those piercing darts. Like I said earlier about the chink in your armor. See, the adversary is walking around like a roaring lion, seeking who's weak and in what areas. Because as we know, if you watch any of those nature shows, that's what the lions just do when they're hunting. They're looking for that one that's sick, that one that's weak, the one that has problems and issues, so that they can pounce on them and they become a victim. And see, and that's what the adversary is doing also. He's looking at the weaknesses that we have as believers. But what we read in this scriptures right here, we're supposed to link up. We're supposed to help one another. We're supposed to be sober, maintaining self-control. You know, self-control is one of those fruits of the spirits that we're supposed to be acquiring. And being sober means that we're always, you know, we have a sound mind. And part of that armor that we put on is that foundation, that solid foundation, that strong foundation. So we're constantly reminding ourselves of the different things of this armor that we're supposed to be putting on, or that we're supposed to be wearing, not putting on, but wearing at all times. That way we can cause the adversary to flee from us. From here, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. And it reads, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my commandments, then you shall be my own possession from among all peoples, for all the earth is mine." See, this is where we're going back. See, when we go back and deal with Adam, he didn't obey the voice. So throughout the scriptures, we see how the Father is passing down that, obey my voice. Obey my voice. Do as I ask you. If we do as we're asked, then there's not going to be any problems. First Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. And this is just another one in regards to obeying the voice of Yahweh. It reads, "Samuel said, has Yahweh a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying his voice, or as in obeying the voice of Yah? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams." So one of the things we can learn from this scripture is that, you know, burnt offerings and sacrifices, that's something that was added. And it was added because of the hardness of the hearts of men. But the Father just wants you to obey his voice. He just wants you to do as he asks. Just like any parent, when they direct their children to do things, they just want the children to do as they ask. And as we've seen earlier, and with Adam, when he didn't understand something, he prayed and asked for clarity. Same thing as children of the Most High. If we don't understand, we ask for clarity. We don't assume anything. We ask. Jeremiah chapter 7. Verse 23. And this is again in dealing with listening. It says, "But this thing I command them, saying, listen to my voice, and I will be your mighty one, and you shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I command you, that it may be well with you." See, how is the Most High talking to us now? We've read this scripture before. Talking to us through his prophets, through his teachers. That's how he's talking to us in this day and time. Listen to the prophets. Listen to the teachers. Listen to the elders. Listen to the learned ones. Because they're the representatives in this day and time. Just like they were the representatives in our forefathers' time, because they had a connection with the Most High. They had a connection with Yahushua. I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. "Therefore, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone of a sure foundation. He who believes shall not act hastily." Remember we said earlier about that cornerstone, that precious stone, that foundation, that salvation? Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 20. And it reads, "Who is the image of the invisible mighty one?" The firstborn of all creation, For by him all things were created, in the heavens, on earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things are held together. He is the head of the body, the assembly, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For all the fullness was pleased to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on the earth or things in the heaven, having made peace through the blood. Oh man, I apologize. I didn't change my translation. We're going to say on the stake, because we know the Messiah wasn't hung on a cross. He was hung on a stake. I apologize there. I guess I didn't use my spell check. I apologize once again, family. From here, we're going to go to Zechariah chapter 13. Verse 7. Awake, sword, against my shepherd, and against the man who is close to me, saith Yahweh of armies. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little one. I went here because ultimately, we talked about it last week in regards to Yahushua being a good shepherd. And we also know that he's the head of the church. And this is talking about if you smite the shepherd, that the people will scatter. Well, I'm going to read it how it comes from Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. And it says, then Yahushua said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me tonight. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will scatter. And when I came across this scripture right here, one of the things that came to my mind, and I heard this when I was younger, and it was, I forgot the nature of the conversation, but it was stated that it said if you kill the head, the body will die. And so I went online trying to find it to see who actually said this quote. And the quote was misconstrued by someone else. But the reason why that came to my mind, because as we know, the shepherd leading God the flock. And as we know that the shepherd, which is Yahushua, is the head of the church. And that's what came to my mind. You know, if you kill the head, then people will scatter. And that's what this scripture is actually talking about. How when the leadership is gone, the people do whatever, because they feel as though there's no leadership around. What comes to mind was just, an example in the scripture that, came to mind was when Moses went up into the mountain, Yahweh, and he was gone for a period of time, and then the people made idols and, partied and did different things. Why? Because Moses wasn't there. A lot of times when we go through the scriptures, Israel go astray, and then the Most High raises up a prophet to get them right. And then they listen and pay attention while the prophet is right there, but then eventually they go back to their nature and that's sinning. From here, we're going to go to Psalm 118, verse 20 and 22. And it reads, "This is the gate of Yahweh. The righteous will enter into it. I will give thanks to you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders reject has become the head of the corner." And one of the things that, you know, comes to my mind in regards to that is, you know, we have many people who are rejecting Yahushua in this day and time and not understanding who he actually is and what he has actually done for us as humanity. He is that foundation in which we as humanity must stand on. As we learned last week, he is that shield that helps protect us. He's that help, he's that breastplate. He is those coverings on our feet that helps protect us. He's that solid foundation that we wrap around our waist. From here, we're going to go to Exodus. Chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. And it reads, "Moses said to the people, 'Don't be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of Yah, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall never see them again. Yahweh will fight for you, and you shall be still.'" So one of the things that came to my mind when I was reading this scripture is that we have to understand Moshe during this time. Moshe was like Elohim on earth. And what is he saying? Elohim was on the earth saying, "Stand still and watch his salvation." Whose salvation is he watching? Because he's in the stead of Yahweh, Elohim. He's in, you know, so he's telling the people, "Watch my father." When Yeshua came, he did the same thing. No, they asked him, "Show us the Father." And he said, "When you see me, you see the Father." First John chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It reads, "My little children, I write these things to you, so that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have a counselor with the Father, Yahushua, the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sin. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world." Did we hear that? Yahushua, the righteous. And he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not for ours only, but for the whole world. And this is going back to what was read in them lost books. How Yah told them, "I'm going to send my word." Romans chapter 5, verses 15 and 17. And it reads, but the free gift isn't like the trespass. For if by the trespass of the one that many died, much more did the grace of Yah and the gift by the grace of the one man held sure to many. The gift is not as through one who sinned, for the judgment came by one to condemnation, but the free gift came of many trespasses to justification. For if by the trespass of one death reigned through the one, so much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness reigning and life through the one Elshua. So I went here just to go back to what we read in the beginning. The Adam sinned. And because of his sin, trespass was in the earth. But when Yeshua came in this earth, he did not sin at all. And he laid his life down for us. He gave us a gift. Because as we read earlier, the wages of sin is death. And he didn't do anything to want that death. But he gave his life up. That perfect sacrifice for sin. He was that gift to us. That free gift. Matthew chapter 11, verse 29. And it reads, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. This is what Yeshua is telling us. Lowly in heart, humble in your thinking, rest in him. Because, as I said earlier, in the little statement that I said earlier, how sin, you know, sin does something. Let me see. Let's find it. Sin is a danger to the soul of humanity. Why? Because it causes you to be separated from the Most High. When Yeshua said, cleave to me. Learn of me. Rest in me. Romans chapter 8, verse 35-37. And it reads, who shall separate us from the love of Messiah? Could oppression or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or perils or sword? I'm going to stop right here because within our course of study, we just got finished going through the Maccabees. And when we were going through the Maccabees, we seen how Israel, during that particular moment, you had those who were going through great perils and swords was being, you know, they was going through a lot of issues. But you had that faithful few who stood on that word, stood on that understanding of the truth. And that's what we have to do. You know, for Yeshua loves us. Do we love him? Well, are we going to allow the adversary to oppress us, give us anguish, persecute us, you know, put famine in our areas, expose us, send us through great perils. Are we going to allow that separate us from the love of Yahushua? Are we going to allow that to separate us from the word? Verse 36, even as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We were accounted as sheep for the slaughter. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So we as believers, we die daily. We're that sacrifice. We're that example that people should see. We're assisting others in being saved. That's one of the things that we learned in regards to, you know, that those shoes, those boots that run to do the good news, to give the good news. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We got this armor on, this armor of Yahushua, and we're supposed to be showing it. We're supposed to be a peculiar people, giving people an opportunity to know who Yahushua is. For Yahushua laid his life down for the whole world. From here we're going to go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 7. And it reads, having this mind, women, having this in your mind, which was also in Yahushua, who, existing in the form of Yah, did not consider equality with Yah as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men. I go here because what comes to my mind that we're in the likeness of men. But we supposed to be like Yahushua, taking on spirituality, taking on his word. As we said earlier, taking up his yoke so that we represent him in this world. So then when men see us, they see him and want to follow after him. Not after us. Because it also say, be gentle and lowly. It means humble. Understanding where your power comes from. For me, I have no power of my own. I have no knowledge of my own. All the knowledge that I have is the knowledge that the Most High allows me to have to dispense to you. For I'm striving to be a vessel. I'm striving to be a servant for the Most High. So from here, we're going to go to chapter 17, and we'll read verses 15 to 21. And it reads, I pray not that you would take them from the world, but that you would keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, even so I have sent them into the world. For their sake, I sanctified myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Not for these only I do, I pray, but for those also who believe in me through their words, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That's the last scripture I'm going to end with. And I went there to end this session because Yahushua, he taught some men. He put his spirit on these men. He sent these men out to the world to teach of him. And the words that they were teaching was the truth of him. And as he came to save the world, came to save Israel, and he came to save the world, as we read in the scriptures, he wants all men to have an opportunity to make it into that kingdom, to come in that sheepfold, to believe in him. And we as believers are supposed to go out there in the world and show him, show his character. Not our character, but his character. So as we've been going through the defensive weapons, these things that help defend us, in 2 weeks we'll talk about the sword, that offensive weapon. But we know also, if you watch the martial arts movies and things of that nature, a sword also can be used to protect you also. It's both an offensive weapon and a defensive weapon. But so far, we've been talking about the things that defend ourselves against the adversary. And then we stand firm in his word and stand firm in his truth, the adversary is going to flee. He's going to flee from us. But that doesn't mean he's not going to keep looking. He's not going to keep paying attention to our actions and our deeds, because he's waiting for us to slip up. So we have to be mindful of what we're doing, constantly looking in the mirror and checking ourselves to see if we're being safe. Because we, as believers, we don't want to lead anyone astray. Because we learned about that when we go to the Garden of Eden, how the Hasatan deceived Eve and making her believe something that was not true. And we don't want to do that as believers. We don't want to put out there any information that is not true. I had an example of that today. I used to put the wrong word down on my paper. Now, it was corrected, and I corrected as soon as possible. So as believers, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to correct ourselves first. First. And people will see that you have no problem with correcting yourself and heeding criticism and heeding teaching, like we read in the scriptures earlier. You know, we have to pay attention to the elders. See, I'll be 50 this year, and I can still learn too. I can still be corrected also. You know, because we're supposed to learn from one another. Because it's Yahushua who dwells in us that helps us all. And if we keep our eyes focused on him and what he has done and about his business, which was his father's business, then we will be okay. The ups, the downs, the turnarounds. And as we've seen in the scriptures that we went through today, it was, you know, Abraham was tested. Tested his faith. Tested his love. Sometimes we go through these things. We go through our tests to see where we are in his word. See whether or not he can put you on a task. See if you're ready. Because the war is there. That he wants the best troops. He wants the best servants in the right places. Those who are qualified to do the job. And as believers, we want him to pick me, pick me, pick me, pick me. You want to be that one to step in the gap. Why? Because Yahushua did that. He said, I'll do that for you, Father. I'll go lay my life down for people, for humanity. I'll do that for you. So we have to take on that same attitude. I'll do that for you, Yahushua. I'll do that for you, Father. And how can we do it? By taking on him, which is that whole armor, which is those fruit of those spirits, which is that word. We're supposed to take that word and eat it. Be the bread of life. What is he giving us? That word is the bread of life for us. We're supposed to be eating it. And as we eat it, it becomes a part of us. We're supposed to work it, practice it, speak it. So, hopefully everyone got something from this lesson. And if you have an opportunity, go back over your notes for all the other defensive armor that we put on. Hopefully you've been applying it to your life. And just interesting, you know, because since I've been doing this particular, you know, these 5 weeks, you know, you can't get out there and, you know, talk about the Father's word in certain areas and he don't test you. You know, yeah, I've been being tested. Being tested on his word, applying his word. So, hopefully everyone has, if you've already eaten, hopefully this lesson was a dessert for you. Hopefully, you know, it don't weigh on you too heavy. But hopefully it's dessert. And for some, if it's the first meal before you eat, hopefully it's a nice appetizer. But I'm going to end the session with a prayer. Thank you, Father Yah, for allowing us to meet with you on your Sabbath day. Thank you, Yahushua, for all you've done for us and all you will do for us. Thank thee, Yahushua, for standing up for us, being that light by day, being that cloud by day, and being that light by night. We ask of thee, O Yah, to allow us to have a peaceful slumber. May we meditate on your word as we slumber tonight. We ask of thee, O Father, to help those that are in need of your assistance. Comfort those that need comforting. Heal those that need healing. Chastise those who need chastisement. For we know that you will be what we need you to be, when we need you to be. For you love us. And we thank thee, for allowing us to be the apple of your eye. Blessed are you, Yahweh, shield of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who restores the presence of Zion. Blessed are you, Yahweh, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahweh, who blesses Yisrael. Peace. Shalom, Yisrael, family and listening audience. May you have a peaceful slumber. Shalom.
Tower is strength in the face of the enemy.